The best way to watch Crossroads Church is on your smart TV, because that's where your family hangs out. And plus, taking a break from your phone and tablet feels good. Download the Crossroads TV app on your smart TV, and your TV becomes your church, your community, your new rhythm, your I finally went to church this week. Set a time to experience church on your TV. See, you've already made your TV smarter. Download the Crossroads TV app. It'll give you the boost you and your family need for your week.
Hey everyone, and welcome to Crossroads Church. I'm so glad that you joined us today. I'm Hannah.
And I'm Kyle, and you are with us on the start of the first week of the Good God Journey. It's 5 weeks to get to a new place in our understanding of this question of, is God good? Where you're gonna be your host for this entire thing, I think, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right, which is so exciting because this world has kind of seemed really dark in 2020, and to ask yourself the question, is God good no matter the circumstances? We knew we had to be all in trying to find the answer to that question. We knew that we had to be your host. And also, we kind of work here, and so sometimes they tell us to do stuff. And
they
then
said, they said, be here.
Right.
We're like, okay.
So,
and they also said, be ready for anything. So we are ready for anything. Officially, oh my gosh.
Okay.
The yellow box.
Okay.
Crack it open. Okay. Are we supposed to wear these? This is not in my contract.
Okay. I don't think this is the one.
This is awful.
God.
Yeah! Paint can?
Paintbrush?
It is a key. Let's go.
Oh,
all right.
Oh, wow.
You think that's it?
I think that's it.
Okay.
Dang.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Let's do this thing.
Hey.
All right.
Hey. Okay. It's three pedal. I think this is a stick shift.
Do you know how to drive a stick shift?
No. you know how to drive a stick shift, right?
I do not. I got this. Okay, nothing's happening now.
No.
You guys want some help?
Oh my!
Really, I can help you. So you're gonna follow this diagram right here.
Okay, Ernie, come on.
Come on, Ernie.
A little feather, a little more gas, a little more gas. Okay, so you stalled.
Ah!
First time.
You got all
put
over here.
Put on the brake. Put him in first. Put him in first, because now you're gonna stop. That's all right. So we're Hannah stalled. It's all good. So give it some gas first. Let your clutch out a little bit. You're in first. You're good. Yep. Stop. More gas.
Gas.
Clutch in first. Clutch. Clutch. Second.
Yeah.
Here. Good, 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 good. Get more gas, more gas. Yeah!
Come on, baby!
Good. Clutch. Third. Should be good. Nice, Hannah! All right, turn him around. Break.
I'm breaking.
You guys did great. Go ahead and turn the engine off.
Okay, all right.
I don't think you need me anymore.
What?
Okay. Who was that?
I don't know, but I feel like we got schooled by a soccer mom.
Yeah, we definitely did.
It's probably trying to just get this journey started,
okay,
I think.
I think we should go. We are ready. We got this.
Yeah, listen, 2020 has been a crazy year for all of us, but no matter what circumstance you find yourself in, God can be a good God to you.
And I look to my friend and say, I'll bet you 2020 years from now, this'll be a moment worth a million. Behind us there's a shadow from rays of light that shine on us. 6 feet of emotion laid off and the money gone. Only good credit, bad credit, bad news from the media. Good God, it's a war zone. What guilt, what matters? Some couldn't give a fraction. Whole world is scratches, yeah. I may be shaking now, but I won't let it get me down. Nothing else to say. I got 1 5, 5 1s, 1 10, and I step to my friend to say, Good, I'll bet you 2020 years from now, good, this'll be a moment with a million. Good.
Hey, my name is Brian. Welcome to The Journey, a five-week journey to look at one of the key elements of the identity of God, that He is good. Do you believe that He's good? A lot of us don't. We're going to look into that because it's critical for us to be people of faith and have a life that works. In the book of Psalm chapter 34, verse 8, it says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him." Taste and see. Taste. Is it good or is it not good? Taste and see. We have a friend of ours who lived with us for a while, my wife and I. He lived with us and he had the weirdest taste buds. It's like if it wasn't a hot dog or it wasn't covered in ketchup or it wasn't mac and cheese, he wasn't interested in it. At all, like not at all. So we just do normal food that normal adults make and put it out before him. We called him Wazy. And Wazy's just like, he didn't like it. He wouldn't taste to see if something was good. And what do you know? We ended up pushing his taste buds a bit. But then I also learned a bit of his story. I realized he had a very dramatic and traumatic upbringing as a child, and basically no one was really looking after him. And so an easy meal to throw in front of him was a hot dog or something squirted with ketchup or mac and cheese. It was just pushed that way. He hadn't developed taste buds to taste things. I want you and I to develop taste buds to understand, is God good? This is the question that drives everything else in your life. It will drive how you feel about your life. It will drive how you react to adversity in your life. It will drive how you respond to God, how you pray to God. It'll drive the outages in your faith. It will. I'm here in something that I really don't want to be in at all. It's a waiting room. I hate waiting rooms. I do. Do you know why I don't like waiting rooms? Because I don't like what's represented in waiting rooms. Waiting rooms represent pain for me. I'm waiting in a room before I go into the dentist. I'm waiting in the waiting room before I go into a counseling thing. I'm waiting in a waiting room while something painful is happening to somebody else on the other side of the wall. I was in a waiting room a number of years ago when we had opening night at our Christmas production at Crossroads. We had a woman, Carrie. Carrie fell 30 feet, and I went and sat in this waiting room wondering, what does this mean, God? What does this mean for this woman's future, first-year college student? What it meant was she died. What would this mean for the church's future, the faith of people? God, who are you that on a Christmas production, if everything is supposed to be going well any place, it would be in a Christmas production, how can you be good? It wasn't too long ago, I was in a waiting room like this, waiting for my friend Kathy, who was on the other side, waiting to receive me as cancer was ravaging her body. And this woman was a rock in my life. I mean, just a rock. She was solid. She helped me with my leadership. She helped me with my faith, actually. She was the most grace-giving, fun-loving person that had just crazy wisdom. She was a female banker of the year back in her business heyday. Amazing. And when I saw her, as I prayed with her, God said no to those prayers, and Kathy died. Not a lot of evidence in waiting rooms for me over exactly is God good or not. And there was another day that I was in a waiting room just like this, where beforehand I was going about my day doing my thing, and my phone rang, and I picked up my phone and I said, "Hello," and my oldest daughter Lena was on the other side and she was panting out of breath. She said, "Dad, have you heard about Mom?" I said, "No. Mom just collapsed working out. She's in an ambulance. She had a stroke. She's going to the hospital." "I'll be there." Click. I went into my truck, getting to where I'm going. And while I'm going there, my mind is just starting to mess with me. My mind inside is like a a Rolodex of all my life events. Now, one of the upsides some days, downsides other days of my job is the number of prayer requests I get. And when people text me or email me for prayer, like, they're never emailing me, "Hey, Brian, great news. I just got a raise. Just pray for me that I'm more thankful to God." I never get those ones. The prayers I get are, "Hey, my child has a brain aneurysm. Would you pray for me? My friend, he just had a heart attack. He's got two young kids. You pray for him. Hey, my mom got a stroke. My dad had a stroke. I've got a lot of stroke. So when I hear stroke with my wife, I go inside the Rolodex and I look inside there and I go, stroke. What do I have for stroke? Stroke, stroke, stroke. What's in there? And when I pull up the Rolodex, what's in my memory of the things I prayed for, how it ended was feeding tube. Cane. Wheelchair. Drooling. Incommunicative. That day and that waiting room would define my faith. It wouldn't reduce my faith or change my faith, but it would actually define what my faith was. Did I trust in God? Did I believe things would be okay? Did I believe that God was good? To understand this question that we're going to be going through this entire time, we all have a box of disappointments and a box of pain that makes us question whether or not God is good. I don't know what's in your box. It could be things like financial ruin, personal bankruptcy, didn't get into the school that I wanted, lost a child, had a divorce. This box of disappointments is wreaking havoc on our faith or defining our faith all the time. When you take a look at the Bible and you open up the Bible, oh, what do you know? Here we go. Someone's a religious person, and you actually open up the Bible. Coming out of the pages of the Bible, I want you to imagine a DNA strand, a double helix, one of those ladder twisty things that comes up outside of the Bible. The Bible can be a very confusing and seemingly contradictory book. It's not contradicting itself so much as there's tensions in the Bible. There's sort of opposing extremes in the Bible. In the midst of that tension is where God resides. Is God one or is God a Trinity? Is my faith what gets me to God or does my works get me before God? Do I have personal responsibility for my life or is there the sovereignty of God in my life? And the answer is yes. God is one and he exists in three persons. Yes. My faith in Christ gets me to God. And if I don't have works, then my faith is dead. Yes, God's given me one life. I'm supposed to manage that life, take control of that life, and God is sovereign, and he is ultimately in control of everything. See, these things aren't opposed to one another. They're just a bit complex. And so, too, there's these opposite extremes of understanding God that comes through every single story in the Bible. It is whether God is a father, a good father, or he is a good king. Wait, is he a father who nurtures and who comforts? Or is he a king who rules and who conquers? Yes, he's both of those things, actually. He's both of those things. And based on what mode he's in a specific time, he's going to behave a certain way in that time. All of us are complex creatures. You can't just reduce you like, oh, you're a jock. Oh, you're a jock, so therefore you don't think. No, it doesn't work that way. Oh, so you're an accountant, so therefore you're an accountant, but you don't do bench presses. No, it doesn't work that way. And we keep trying to reduce God to being one or the other of these things. He's either lovey-dovey, nice, feely father who makes me feel good, or he's kind of strong king that's doing his thing. Jesus says in the book of John, chapter 5:17, Jesus answered them, My Father is working until now, and I am working. My Father is working. And what exactly is God working on? Jesus talked about the kingdom of God. What does every kingdom have? Every kingdom has a king. The Father is working as a king. He's ruling and he's working an agenda that transcends our agenda, that is a higher arching agenda and is something that you and I cannot fathom and is more important than you and I would ever actually want. Jesus says in Luke chapter 18, "Why do you call me good? No one's good except God alone. He's good as a father. He's good as a king." If you miss God as a father, you miss out. You can't understand his goodness. If you miss God as a king, you miss out. And you can't understand him as his powerfulness, his goodness. We need both of these things. The question that we're going to be asking this entire journey is God good? Is he good? Some of us just don't have an ability to get over our bitterness. And we're bitter and our box of disappointments have hurt us so much that we put that on God. So, well, if there's a God, then he must not care about me. Our culture has become increasingly weak. Every culture in all of world history has had problems and has had pain and has had heartaches and has had famines and had wars. All of them have, and every culture throughout all of human history has an understanding of God or the transcendence, every single one. And you don't see them all just abandon their idea of God, whatever their idea of, so as they have pain. But in our culture, because we believe that we're actually God, we believe that my ways are always the right ways, we believe my feelings are always the most important thing, my feelings, whenever something doesn't go our way, the way we want it to go, we're left with a core conviction that there must not be a God or God isn't good. Friends, we've got to get by. We've got to get over this thing of when life isn't going my way, then somehow there's not a God. That's why the atheism numbers and the agnostic numbers keep going up, because I can't reconcile my life isn't going well and I thought God was all about me and my life. He's not all about you and your life. He is about you. He does love you and he cares for you greatly as a father would, and he's a king. I've got all kinds of disappointments in my life, a lot of them. Crossroads, the thing I lead, is declining, as many things are during COVID. I mean, graphs never make sense. Buildings are shut down. Streaming rates, people are all over the board in terms of if they stream, when they do. I mean, it's like things are declining. My body, as I get older, it is declining. I can't bench press 400 pounds anymore. I never could bench press 400 pounds. I don't even know what I can bench press at all, period, right now at all. But whatever it was, it's less right now. When you're in disappointment, when your box of disappointments is full, when you are going down, how do you respond to God? We don't want to gloss over the pain that we have. We don't want to avoid the difficult conversation that these things bring up. In this journey, we want to look right at it. We want to look right at those things, and we want to see if God will actually do something about it.
Man, we're jumping in, asking the big question right away. Is God good? Just like Brian, I know in my life, I have those moments that feel like, yeah, he's definitely good. Moments when stuff works out the way I want it to. And then I have other moments where maybe I prayed, I asked for something, and I didn't get what I wanted. Real loss, real grief. And it's a real question. Is God good? That we have to ask in all the areas of our life.
Absolutely. That question applies in one specific area, even our money. We get to ask, is God good with our money? And listen, I'm a tither because I just believe that God can do more with my money than I can. And he has answered that question, that yes, he is good.
That word that Hannah used, tithe, it's in the Bible, and it's actually a test that God invites us all to take to see whether he is a good God when it comes to our finances. If you want to know more about that, you can go to crossroads.net/give.
Well, next, I'm super excited because I get to talk to my friend Sean, who's had to ask the big question, is God good, in the middle of some really tough circumstances? So I'm going to go talk to him next. We're in a good God journey, where unfortunately I don't think a lot of people believe that God's good. And I know that you have an incredible story about experiencing the goodness of God despite some pretty unique, what some might even say is crazy, circumstances.
Week of Thanksgiving, 2008, happily married, young, 28 years old. And my wife and I, we were expecting the birth of our firstborn. And it was that Wednesday, I received a phone call at work from my wife. Turned out that she was having some heart palpitations. We were due in the end of March. On January 11th, Marty's body decided to go into labor. So they rushed her into surgery. They came out and they let us know that, you know, we had a baby girl, and we were 29 weeks, 2 days, 2 pounds. She was a micro preemie. My wedding ring was the size of her hand. She was on oxygen, but that's normal for a child born that young. Marty got to come home, and we made our daily trips to the hospital, and about a month passes, and she's having a really hard time healing. She has a follow-up appointment, and they say, well, you know, we need to send you back to the hospital, flush out some of the fluids, and then you should be fine. And she was there for a day. Then in the morning of February 10th, I get a call at 5 in the morning from her phone, and it's not her on the other end of the phone. And it's a doctor, and she says, hey, you need to get here right away. And she had stopped breathing, and they weren't able to recover her. And so she dies. I can remember just feeling lost. You just miss your friend, you miss your wife, you miss everything. And you know, we had prayed the whole time that, you know, we'd get through it and be able to live the life that we had planned with each other, and that just wasn't gonna happen. And I can remember everything. Smell of the room, the feel of her touch. I can remember just, I don't know where the prayer came from, but it was, you know, God, thank you. Like, the first thing that came out of my mouth was gratitude. I don't know where that came from. And I just pled with God, really, to heal my heart. I didn't want to be angry with him. I asked him, you know, don't let any seeds of bitterness take root, and asked him to watch over Lily and the rest of the family as we had no idea how we were going to navigate the next season of our lives. We buried Marty on Valentine's Day, and I get a phone call from the hospital, and it's them telling me that Lily's health had taken a turn for the worst. I think the first thought was, you've got to be kidding me. Like, this is too much. I can't shoulder this. I can remember thinking, like, I don't get this, God. Like, I need you to show up. And I don't feel like you are. And I can remember feeling powerless, really. There's nothing I can do. I mean, my wife's gone. My baby's in an incubator. You know, I had lots of ups and downs in terms of wrestling with my faith, of wrestling with why God wouldn't allow that to happen. Maybe not to me, but to Lily. Fortunately, she rallied. She spent 4 months in the NICU, but she just surpassed every benchmark medically that she was supposed to. So they make it through the first summer, and I'm at a Saturday service with my mom. I greet the person to my left, and she doesn't say hi. She goes, you're Lily's dad. I think that's weird. Like, turns out she was taught with Marty's best friend. And when we were sick and in the hospital, they started praying for us and that sort of thing. You know, months passed, and that friendship blossomed into a relationship, and we married. We've got 3 more beautiful kids, so 4 total. So when I look back at some of the things that have come of what seemingly dark moment in my life, that Lily never She doesn't have a memory that is absent of a mother's love. In God's own time, that first prayer that I said, I didn't have bitterness. I had hope. Can you just hold on? Give him a chance. He might do something pretty awesome.
There's a vast difference between God creating something good out of a bad situation and calling a bad situation good. Just trying to go, ah, la, la, it's good, and denying reality. The latter is what we tend to do because we try to gloss over the pain and the difficult conversation that a lot of these things brings to us. But it comes back to the core idea of trust. Do we trust that these things can both be true at the same time? That this is a thing that's difficult, this is a thing that's awful, this is a thing that's in my box of disappointments, and good can come out of it. Good can come out. We want to get to a place where we can actually say with confidence, God is good. He is good. I don't want to just ask that question. I want to say God is good. Romans 8, verse 28, it says, we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to His purpose, all things work together for good. All things work together to make my life the way I want it? No. All things work together to make me feel good? No. A lot of them. I like feeling good. Hey, raise your hand if you like feeling good. I like feeling good. God's not against it. I have sometimes people say to me, well, you know, Crossroads, they just want you to feel good. It's a feel-good church. And your point is, oh, that's what I want to do. I want to go to a church that makes me feel bad. That's what I want to do. I'm only going to hear a sermon unless I feel like a turd afterwards. Where do we get these? Yes, it's okay to feel good. But the point of life is not to feel good. The point of life is to serve God. It's okay to have things go really, really well, but my driving passion can't have the things go really, really well. If I have faith, it's to really get well at understanding God. And it's hard to see God as good when we don't see our miracle, when Carrie dies after falling at the Christmas show, when Kathy dies after all the prayers that took place. Like, how does God cause all things to work together for good? They died. It didn't work. Well, maybe their stories are helping you and I understand something right now. It's contributing to how something has been working together for good. I was wrestling with that question while in the waiting room, and I was remembering all the pain and heartaches associated with waiting. As I was going internal and thinking about things and fixating on things and thinking, oh no, what if? Does this mean I've had my last conversation with my wife? Because I don't know many people have talked after a stroke. Does this mean that I've taken my last walk with my wife? Does this mean every meal I'm going to have with my wife, I'm going to be feeding her? What does this mean? As I was with her in the waiting room when I got to the hospital and the kids were coming and they were all filing in one by one, Libby was lying there and she lied and she couldn't move anything. All she could do is open, her eyes are open real wide like she was terrified. She's just looking around like, I can't talk. I don't know what's going on. She couldn't move. Got the family around, put our hands on her, prayed for her. I don't know what the nurse and doctors were thought, but I'm like, I don't care. Going to God here right now. We have to go to Him. We're putting our hands on her and we're praying for her. Prayed that God would heal her. We prayed that the medicine would do what it needs to do, that medical professionals can do what they need to do. We're praying, and then she was gone. She was whisked away, and I said, that's it. Maybe she's going to die where she's going. I don't know. So I got shifted over to another waiting room. And I'm sitting in this waiting room. I'm looking around and I'm just nervous. And I'm not happy because I told you waiting rooms freak me out. I don't like waiting rooms. Things good don't happen for me inside waiting rooms. And I finally realized I got to stop being a victim here. I got to do something about this. So I got out my phone and I have my earbuds in as well. And what I did was I found a playlist or a specific song that I have been playing in my mind again and again. Song is a few years old now. And it goes, may the king of my heart
be the mountain where I run, the fountain I drink from, oh, is my
And the refrain
soul.
Of it is, you are good, good, oh, you are. And I'm in listening to this thing. I realize, okay, I'm going to start like worshiping and being loud here. So I went outside. I got in the hallway and I just had that song on endless repeat again and again and again. I'm worshiping and I'm telling God, you're good. You're good. Yes, you are. And what am I doing? I'm telling myself, I'm reminding myself, Brian, you've seen God show up in your life again and again and again. Brian, you've seen the goodness of God in all kind of ways. You graduated when you should have graduated. He saved you out of a house fire. He's blessed you with a family, but like on and on and on. And what I was doing, I was reminding myself that He is good, that He's the King of my heart. And I was telling God, God, no matter what happens here, you and I are good. If I don't talk to her, if I've got to feed her with a spoon the rest of her life, if we're not taking walks together, God, you and I are good because you're good. My opinion of you is not going to be negatively, permanently affected because of whatever happens with my wife. When you come to a place like that with your faith, there's a power that comes into your life. There's a freedom. There's a lightness that comes into your life. A core aspect of God, a core aspect of your faith must be that God is good. In the very beginning of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, says, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. When you separate in our life the darkness from the light of who God is and what He's doing. Are you in a waiting room right now? A waiting room, maybe not a literal medical hospital waiting room, but are you in a waiting mode, waiting to see what happens, waiting to see if you're getting divorced, waiting to see if you're getting a job after having just graduated and the job market is, are you in a waiting room wondering what's going to happen with your business? All of us are going to come to waiting room moments. We're going to have to wrestle whether or not God's good. And what happens in that situation may turn out well and may turn out poorly in the immediate sense of the thing. But we've got to believe and see that God is good. Now, my story here, it had a happy ending. And I'm actually hesitant to tell you about the happy ending, only because I've seen a few miracles in my life. I've seen some. Miracles are real, and they happen. Healings are real, and they happen as one kind of miracle. But here's what you got to understand. Miracles are very rare, and they're very far between. If they were common, and if there was a formula where you could follow and get one, it wouldn't be called a miracle. It'd be called a really awesome thing that you can strong arm. That's what it'd be called. But miracles are rare and we can't predict them. We can't strong arm them, but they do happen. And I've had more than enough things I prayed for and I thought that God should be saying yes to, and He didn't say yes to it, and it didn't happen, and it didn't negatively affect my faith. But then this one was a bit different. Nurse comes out and says, okay, she's out. Doctor's ready to see you. We go into the room. There's the doctor. there's my wife. She's sitting up. She's looking around. And she's talking, and she has this stutter. I can live with that. I can live. She's moving limbs. I'm like, okay. I looked at Doc, and Doc has given me the rundown of what happened. And I said, so we're good then, huh? We're good. It's all going to be, we're good. Like 100% recovery? He went, let's just wait. This is going to be a very long and difficult process to some sort of recovery. I was like, okay, all I know is my wife is stuttering and she can look around. That's better than I thought. That's a new one in the Rolodex. She went to her room, her recovery room, and we went in, and I just started taking pictures and taking videos because a miracle was unfolding right before our very eyes.
Good. We're just going to take a couple steps.
She walked steps within hours of not being able to move anything in her body.
I just said a couple steps.
The pictures in her brain of the blood shut down on one entire side of her brain and how it was opened up after they go in through a groin with a little pincher and they go up and they pinch the thing and they squirt the medicine, and how much is the Holy Spirit in the very presence of God doing it, and how much is medicine? I don't know. I'll just say it all. It's all good and it's all God. And all we do know is that none of the medical professionals that were in that hospital said they had ever seen recovery that they saw with my wife.
You look amazing.
Oh, thank you.
You look amazing.
Thank you. I came in 48 hours ago with a really serious stroke. But here I am.
Within days, she was playing tennis. She was playing tennis. Now, I almost hesitate to tell that story because this is a storybook ending and it has a bow on it. I have other things that don't have cute bows on them, and I know you do, and I don't want you to sit back and say, well, God didn't give me a miracle. God didn't do that for me. I almost don't like to tell miracle stories because it hurts some of us because we get bitter or we question whether or not I'm good enough. Is it that I'm not good enough? That God doesn't want to bless me with something? If you don't know God as a good father, you're going to see him as a slave driver, and you'll always try to work your way into his goodness. If you don't see God as a good king, you'll always try to actualize yourself and come into your own authority, which will never get you the power God wants for your life. We want you to have the power that God wants for your life, and we want you to feel his closeness. We want you to feel his presence in your life. We're all going to face suffering, every last one of us. Jesus tells us that's going to happen, but we want to be hopeful and we want to be resilient people despite the circumstances. We want to wrestle during this journey with a question of, is God good? And we're going to come to see, I believe that he is good if you do the work of this journey, if you show up every week, if you get into a group, because people are critical. I got a text on my phone, and while I was in that waiting room, my friend said, hey, we got some stuff for you in the parking lot. We got some beers for you. I was like, in the midst of the difficulty, I was like, beers in the parking lot. Sounds good to me. And I went down, just dying in a pile, and these guys came up to me, and they opened up their cooler, and we sat on my tailgate of my truck, and they just put their arms around me and they tried to cheer me up and they prayed for me, and it was the goodness of God that I was feeling. I didn't know what was going to happen with Lib at that point, but I knew God's goodness was coming through these friends of mine that were here right now. For you to go through this journey and to encounter the goodness of God, you're going to have to be with people, whether it's a Zoom group or people in a home. You've got to do that. That's the journey. You're going to have to do some work. You're going to have to do some reflection. You're going to have to open your mouth and taste things. Remember Psalm 34:8? Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man and woman who takes refuge in him. I want you to take refuge in him, and I want you to taste him. He's a good father. He's a good king. And as his child, there's a new future waiting for you if you can embrace that he's good, because he is good. And that's what we're going to find out in this journey. God, I pray that your goodness would just overcome us, and it would fill us, and it would take us to a new adventure. It would take us to a place that is fulfilling and life-giving. God, we want to see you the way you are, not the way we just want to feel that you should be. We want to see the God who really is. We want to see you as good. Would you do that this week in this journey? Amen.
Forever, Lord, you are good, and your mercy endureth
I'm worshiping and I'm telling God, you're good. And what I was doing, I was reminding myself that he is good, that he's the king of my heart. And I was telling God, God, no matter what happens here, you and I are good.
Let the king of my heart be the mountain where I run, the fountain I drink from, oh, is my song. Let the king of my heart be the shadow where I hide, the ransom for my life, oh, is my song. You are good.
See, this journey is gonna be good, and we don't want you to miss a single week of it. There is so much more in store.
The journey has three parts to it, and get the most out of the journey, you have to do all three. You've already done part one, which is watch the weekend. Congratulations, you're a third of the way through. Part two is to do your individual work, challenges, thought-provoking questions inside the Crossroads Anywhere app. And part three is to meet with the group to process through what you're learning.
Yeah, like Kyle said, that group piece is so critical, guys. If you don't do it, you are missing out, and we've made it so easy for you. You can go to crossroads.net/journey, and there'll be all the information you need to get into a group, and some people who are way smarter and a lot more organized than Kyle and I are actually gonna help you get into a group if that's what you wanna do.
And getting that individual work, those individual challenges is easy too. Just download the Crossroads Anywhere app. It's inside the Google Play Store, the Apple App Store. Get it, it's free.
It's fantastic. Well, we've had such a great time with you guys in week one of the Good God Journey, and we cannot wait to see you till next time.
I can't wait to just stay in this jersey here for me. This what is this called, a jumpsuit?
Oh, it's a jumpsuit, and I don't think Kyle's gonna take his off,
but
I'm gonna
wash
mine. Anyway, we're so excited that you guys joined us. Thanks so much, and see you next time.